Welcome to How to Save Your Marriage with Nicola Beer, a full show of tips and practical strategies to repair, rebuild, and strengthen your relationship. If you are currently stuck, wondering if your marriage can be saved, or you know you want to save it but don't know how to go about changing it, this show is for you. To book your free marriage strategy session with Nicola, get the free marriage ebook or donate. If you are enjoying the show and want to help keep it flowing, visit www.nicolabeer.com.
Hi and welcome. I've got a really interesting topic today, so I'm so pleased you've tuned in to listen. And this is about being addicted to misery, being addicted to being a victim and being unhappy. This is often a question that I get asked, sometimes by those members in my Facebook group or through email, saying, can a person be addicted to being miserable, Nicola? And I know often they're talking about a parent, a loved one, a romantic partner, and yes, sometimes people can get stuck in negative thought loops, in being the victim in life. And I'm going to explore why that is, how that is. We'll look at a little bit of science, an interesting study, and I'll then give you some tips on what to do if you are in a relationship with someone who is very miserable and negative and it's affecting you and your relationship with them, as well as if you find that you're stuck in a negative mindset right now and you really want to change it, or you would like to see if you can change it. I'll give some tips on how to do that as well, and just some things to focus on. Because it can be extremely challenging when you find yourself in a relationship with someone who is negative or who likes to focus on the difficulties in life and what's not working rather than what is working. A person that will see the worst case scenario in things that haven't even happened. It can bring down the whole atmosphere of the day, in the home, just by listening to their comments and the way that they express themselves. Many couples who have booked me for anger management around the world, it's actually their partner that has said, I've had enough. I can't handle their negativity. I can't handle their anger. They wake up in a bad mood. They get angry over the smallest things. It's poisoning our relationship. It's poisoning the atmosphere in the home. So I'm going to be sharing some science, like I mentioned, a really interesting study, which I'll get into straight away, and some actions and tips on what you can do. So there's a study that is sort of linked to this, and I'll share it with you. I thought it was really quite interesting. So we've all heard the term misery likes company. And sometimes, yes, miserable people seek more misery in their lives and seek out miserable company. And an interesting study carried out by Eduardo Andre and Joel Cohen in 2017 found that people that loved horror films had a different reaction to those that avoided horror movies. So what they did is they got a group of participants and they divided them into two. People that love horror movies and people that absolutely avoid them, don't really enjoy them, they just avoid them. And they found that the people that loved horror movies, they were able to experience happiness and joy at the same time as watching horrific, sad, gut-wrenching, dramatic, painful, scary scenes. They could experience fear, sadness with happiness and joy. And those that avoided horror movies couldn't. They were extremely unhappy and stressed watching those scenes, and very happy when those scenes were over. They felt relieved, and then they could feel happy that it was over. And this kind of supports the idea that some people actually do enjoy misery, unhappy emotions, and they can experience happiness at the same time as fear and sadness and horror, whereas others can't. And we all know some people that like to also play victim in their relationship. They like to be the victim in their family, in their work. People are doing things to them. It's not their fault. Perhaps in the past it's got them what they want from others. Maybe being the victim got them sympathy, gifts, or attention. And then they associate benefit in being a victim. So in being a victim, they're not weak, they actually reap rewards. It's a pleasurable experience. In fact, some people that book a breakthrough session with me to stop being a victim, or who want to stop living with a negative attitude and mindset, are constantly blaming others for their position, not taking responsibility. And when I dig a little bit deeper with this, they're scared of taking responsibility. They're scared of being at fault. And then I go a bit deeper. Why are you scared of being at fault? Why are you scared of being responsible for your life decisions and actions? And often it's because if they are responsible and they mess up, they may never live it down, they may punish themselves, they may treat themselves so badly that they want to avoid taking any blame for anything in their life as a way to avoid self-punishment. I've had quite a few cases like that. And there's also a big body of research that suggests that people's thoughts get hardwired into habitual thought loops. And unless we do the conscious and unconscious change to our thinking, the same thoughts will create their reality. And if those thoughts aren't changed, their beliefs and those thoughts will determine their feelings, their emotions, their attitudes, their behavior, and their whole life will be predictable. They'll be hardwired to living a life of misery and unhappiness if that's the foundation of their thinking. In fact, Dr. Joe Dispenza says that unless we do the unconscious and conscious change work, well, he really refers to the unconscious change work, we will actually have a predictable life by the time we're age 35. That means if we don't do any change work, who we are at 35 years old will, and how we think at 35 years old will continue for the rest of our life. That is his research. Now, there are many reasons why people may end up in these negative thought loops and find themselves somehow addicted to pain, misery, unhappiness, and negativity. Here are some examples. A difficult or turbulent upbringing where parents didn't express happiness or love and were focused on negativity and were generally unhappy. I grew up, as many of you know, my mum was diagnosed with bipolar about only 10 years ago. She didn't get any help for her depression, for her anxiety. She was constantly screaming, breaking down, swearing, shouting, hitting, you know. And so as a child, if that's what you see, you think, oh, this is how life is. This is normal. We all copy our parents from, or our caregivers from the age of 0 to 7. And it's only if we get positive examples of how to be that we can start to change this way of thinking, acting, and responding to the world. Then there's low self-esteem, lack of confidence, inability to see someone's worth. If someone really doesn't hold themselves as worthy of good things, of being happy, they can self-sabotage. It's really hard to be happy when you look through the lens of seeing yourself as inferior, not enough. And then past traumatic experiences. These can create fearful, anxious, and negative thoughts in people, where they may distrust others, they may think that life is out to get them, and that it's their fault, and therefore they need to go through life miserable. There's also hormonal imbalances. These can contribute to people seeing things negatively and feeling sad and empty. Unresolved grief and loss, repressed emotions, and that's what I mean by unresolved, where people block and stuff down their emotions with alcohol, drugs, food. They don't allow keep themselves busy with exercise, work. They don't allow themselves to feel emotions, so they hold them inside their body. This creates stress, tension, and a negative attitude and mood. Identity as a person who's realistic and practical. So some people really pride themselves on being very analytical and very realistic. They don't want to be seen as a person who's positive. They want to be seen as a person that can show that there are risks and challenges, and they want to focus on what can go wrong. And if you create an identity around that, this is going to be a habitual way of operating and being. And sometimes you can see that in people that have very analytical jobs, where they're paid to look for worst case scenario, what can go wrong, what are the risks. And sometimes I work with a lot of very senior professionals in these kind of jobs that say, yeah, it works great for my career, it's not working great for my relationship, it's not working great for me in my social life. Can you help me switch off my negative mindset outside of the workplace? And then there's those that are living with anxiety, and they see anxiety as a normal way of thinking. It's become, to them, a helpful way of functioning. A lady and a man that I worked with, a couple, contacted me after searching for relationship support because of the high levels of negativity and misery present in their relationship as they described it. So to protect their identities, I used the name Adrienne and James. Adrienne felt deeply unsatisfied in her relationship because James was always putting a negative spin on everything. It was beginning to cause tension when doing things as a family, but also things Adrienne was choosing to do, including things she did in the house, how she dressed, who she spent time talking to on the phone, and even what she ate. He was shooting her all the time, telling her what she should and shouldn't do, telling her how bad everything was for her. For example, he was saying that you shouldn't eat that, you'll get ill. You shouldn't drink that, it's bad for you. You should do this exercise, otherwise you could damage yourself. You should sleep at this time. He also pointed out other faults that he thought she had and how she was failing. Like saying, your work is taking advantage of you. They haven't given you a pay rise. Your friends don't respect you as they're showing up late. Your parents don't respect me because they don't ask enough about me when they call the family. He not only saw negative in her, he saw negative in all of the areas of her life. And it was really draining her. James also had the habit of seeing everything that costs money as a negative, moaning about the price of everything. And even money spent on really good times that they had, he complained about. It was draining Adrienne to the point of exhaustion. She did not feel financially comfortable or free at all. She felt low and fed up. To her, every day had started to become a struggle. She noticed that the complaining was also influencing the way their two boys were behaving. She felt the house lacked laughter, lacked energy, that there was aggression and tension in the air, and the children were fighting more. She was getting tired of trying to be the positive one, and she ended up adopting James's pessimistic attitude. And this is when she asked me, are some people addicted to unhappiness? Can people change? What if they enjoy being miserable? Does that mean it's going to be like this forever? To which I responded, of course, things can change. All thoughts and beliefs and behaviours can be changed. And when we change our thinking, our emotions change with them. So does our physiology, our body. By that I mean, and even financial success and relationship happiness will shift when the thoughts change. In order for it to change, however, there needs to be one, a willingness to change, a motivation to change that comes from the person who is negative or miserable. You can't do it for them. They have to want to do it for themselves. They have to realize that their current way of thinking is not serving their health, and that negative thoughts can create disease in the body, which is part of the thing that I first explained. I explained to them as well how it can dampen the relationship, how it can affect the self-esteem of children, of others in the relationship, how it can affect the work life, and just general success. Because if you believe that there aren't good opportunities out there, you're not going to take the action, you're not going to pay attention to great opportunities when they come and hit you in the face. Because you've switched off, you've turned off noticing the possibilities in life. So that's the first step, understanding that change is possible and there's a motivation to change. And then there needs to be an agreement to shift the thinking at the conscious and the unconscious level. It's not enough to do traditional talk therapy where you're just going to go there and go, yeah, I have these negative thoughts. Yeah, I think the worst case scenario. Yeah, I don't trust anyone. Yeah, I feel really insecure. I don't feel loved. That's just going to reinforce the problem. All you're going to be doing there is reminding yourself of your habitual way of thinking. You may even reinforce it. So we need to look at, is it helping you or not helping you? What else could you think? What could be the best case scenario? What could the best situation or outcome be? And then changing at the subconscious level. And this is where I create a trance track for people. And by trance, I don't mean like dance trance, although I used to love trance back in the day. I'm talking about a relaxing deep meditation where your conscious mind switches off, you feel relaxed, you feel in a sleepy state, and then we give your mind lots of positive thoughts, opening the possibilities that you can have and be what you want in life so that you can be free. So when working with Adrienne and James, it was really important to gain agreement for them both to make the changes to support one another. So let's look at some signs that can indicate an addiction to misery. And if you identify one of these in yourself, you can change it. So the first one is where you struggle to accept that you can change things in your life. And this can be quite a difficult one, really, that I see quite a lot of people come to me for. They've reached that point in their life where they just feel like their happiness is outside of their own control. That others have good things in life because they are fortunate. It's where people tend to think that all bad things have happened to them, and this means that they're never going to have the life that they want. They're never going to be as lucky as others. And that they need to accept their fate, their shortcomings, and they're just doomed to live a mediocre or a not very good life. The second is you blame everything and everyone else for how you feel and what's happening to you in your life. Instead of looking inwards, you tend to blame others for things that have happened to you. For example, you always feel like your friends or family don't include you in events, when in reality, you either tend to shy away or decline invites, putting yourself in the position of showing no interest in your friends or family events. And they may lose interest as they expect you to decline because that's been your habit. And you see yourself as a victim in that situation. So that could be one example. Or you say, well, I'm like this because my parents did this. Or I'm like this because you did this to me. Or you hurt me 5 years ago and now this is who I am. It's where you're not really proactive in creating change. Where you're not realizing that you are responsible also for your reactions and your feelings. For example, going back to the invitation example, do you invite people to things? Do you suggest and show interest in others? Or do you feel hard done by? Do you focus on what people aren't doing for you rather than what you could do for others, for example? The third thing is where everything becomes a competition about you having the hardest life. So this is when your friends or family members are going through a difficult time and you tend to share how difficult your life is or has been. You always share how tough you've had it compared to them. You can't support others because you're in the victim mode and feel like your life is harder, it's been more of a struggle than anyone else. I've had a few men and women that have come to me and booked my 3-day breakthrough session with me. They've shared that their mothers do this, that no matter what they're going through in their life, and they share, you know, they've got ill health, their child's going through this, their husband's going through this, no matter what they say, their mother will say, well, I've had it worse than you, it's been worse for me, I'm currently suffering more than you, my health is worse than yours. And it's so draining when someone feels like they need to be in competition with you in sharing that their life is worse than yours. Their hardship is more difficult than whatever you're going through. And it can make you want to avoid them because you feel misunderstood, unloved, and they're not interested in you. The fourth thing is you can't accept good things happening. Even if there are instances where good things are happening or you're enjoying something, you tend to shut it down quickly and you want to focus on the negative things. You may say to yourself, oh, something bad is bound to happen soon, or this good thing isn't going to last. Even if there's absolutely nothing negative happening in that moment in time, you're sitting and waiting for a turn of events. The fifth thing is that you take everything personally. Let's say someone explains to you their feedback on your work, on an idea, an approach, an opinion, on your appearance. It could be in a relationship, a friendship, a work scenario. And you literally only hear the negative and repeat that negative internally and take offense. You delete all the positive. You may think to yourself or say out loud, I should have known this wouldn't work. I can't believe they think that of me. How dare they? Everyone's out to get me. No one likes me. I can't be friends with this person anymore. When this isn't an accurate overview of what's actually happened. And this can be even more dramatic when you think that everything has a personal attack on you. A person doesn't reply to your text message for a few days. You think they don't like you, or they're trying to be passive-aggressive towards you. When a person cancels on you, you believe that they don't respect you. Or let's say a family member says that they can't answer your phone call. You think they're deliberately avoiding you or ignoring you or trying to keep you in the dark or hiding some secret. Let's say your romantic partner is on the phone a lot of the time or comes home late from work. You assume that they're not interested in talking to you. You assume that they're deliberately trying to avoid you. You take everything personally. You take everything like it's an attack on you when it's not. And sometimes this comes up with couples that I work with where one person's not feeling very well. So they're naturally off. They're naturally distant. They naturally don't want to be hugged or touched. They've got a bad stomach or a cold or a headache or whatever. Or they're just feeling a bit down. And the other person's like going into overdrive thinking the relationship is over, or they're heading for big trouble, or they're having an affair, when really, they're just having a few days of not feeling very well. So what can you do if you or a loved one is in this situation? What can you do to overcome the negativity? If you're in a relationship with someone who is always focusing on the negative in life and doesn't allow themselves or others to enjoy the good times, as I've mentioned, it can put a huge strain on not only on the relationship, but on life in general. So some things that you can consider are accepting what you can and cannot control. If you want them in your life, aim to love and accept them as best you can without adopting the same energy and outlook. You cannot change their thinking for them. You can lead them, inspire them, encourage them, and share when you find their behavior or comments too much. All you can control is yourself, what you focus your energy on, and how you will create happiness for yourself. Also, plan things that lift you, organize family outings, go out with friends, do things that make you feel alive and positive. And hopefully this will have a positive impact on them too. Two is to understand the difference between anxiety and a negative mindset. It's so important to make yourself aware of the difference between the two, between someone who suffers with anxiety and someone who is addicted to negativity and misery. Negativity is anger at people, life, situation, being fed up, frustrated at others, blaming and seeing problems with everything. As I mentioned, those that come from my anger management, it's like they're angry at everything, and when I speak to them just after a few minutes, I can also see that there's a huge amount of self-loathing, low confidence, and anger at themselves that's present, which increases the anger at other things in life. They can't forgive themselves sometimes for mistakes that they've made. And anxiety is worry and fears about health, finances, situations, and wanting to safeguard and protect from further harm. If your partner suffers from anxiety or negativity, it's helpful to remember that their thoughts can be overwhelming and they're not deliberately choosing to ruin the mood or sabotage the day or the relationship. They may feel it's impossible to change their mindset, impossible to think positively. And sometimes I agree with them. telling oneself to think positively, to focus on what to be grateful for, can be extremely difficult if the thoughts are hardwired in the subconscious mind. They may need to seek professional help to change the thinking at a deeper level, to help them challenge their thoughts at the conscious level, and to change the habitual, negative, repetitive thoughts at the unconscious level. I was watching a documentary the other day, and it was, they termed it killing ants, automatic negative thoughts. So these are what they can often need help with, automatic negative thoughts. How you go about killing your ants, helping them to kill their ants, is up to you. But I really like that analogy. Killing those ants. So three is you can ask them to shift their behavior. You can ask them to change and improve their mindset. You can offer to do it with them or for them to do it alone. And it's very important when having these conversations to do it in a calm, kind way. Focusing on how it makes you feel, asking for small behavior changes, let's say in the area of finances, could you be a bit more positive around the finances? Could you keep those kind of thoughts to yourself? Could we talk through these? And be clear to avoid sweeping statements, complaining about their personality, or suggesting that they have a mental health issue, because that can then shut down the conversation. Definitely a peaceful approach can bring out the best, and not in the heat of the moment. Reassure them that you're there for them. You want them to be happy for themselves, and then suggest some changes that you might like to see, and then ask them if there's anything you can change. My fourth tip is to not take their comments or attitude personally. Sometimes we can feel that, God, they're doing it to ruin me. They're doing it to make my life a misery. Or we can take it personally that we're failing. I'm not a good romantic partner because they're so miserable. It's their responsibility to make themselves happy. It's your responsibility to make yourself happy. They may be comfortable in their misery, and if they are and they're not willing to change, unfortunately, there's not a lot you can do. Inspire, request, be the change that you want to see, and hope that they follow. And then lastly, acknowledge their efforts. It can be difficult for people to change at first, and so complimenting and praising the small things that they're doing. We all know that for children, when you're raising children or encouraging children with things, even if you're not a parent yourself, you give them positive feedback, and four positive comments for one negative is what the experts suggest. When we encourage positive behavior with children, in the workplace, in relationships, people want to do more. If people don't feel that their efforts are seen, appreciated, they may retract. They may say, well, what's the point? Even when I do positive things or am positive, you don't even notice, so I can't be bothered. So show your appreciation if they're making an effort. Hopefully it will inspire them again to do more. Overall, it's really important not to label people as negative, as anxious, as having, like I said, mental health problems. Definitely avoid saying you are addicted to being miserable. Probably not going to go down very well. It's better to have that empathy and compassion for them, sharing with them that it must be awful to live like that, and asking them if there's anything you can do to help them see things in a more positive way. And what about if it's you? If you're listening to this and you're like, yeah, Nicola, I can identify with some of the things that you've mentioned today. How can I become more positive? How can I break the cycle of seeing life as not very good? How can I stop complaining? Well, first of all, make a decision that you are going to try and change. You're going to make an effort. Make sure that you get enough sleep. I've got a great podcast on sleep. I've also done a really good video on sleeping in my relationship Facebook group. It can help reduce the risk of waking up grumpy, lethargic, and moody. Some people find it helpful to write down positive affirmations that you can read any time you find yourself thinking negatively. Some people explore different mindful techniques. You can Google that and see what ones you might like to try. Attention to your diet and food, of course. What we eat and drink can affect our mood. You can experiment with different types of exercise to find ones that make you feel good and lift you up. You can be mindful of those who you surround yourself with. As we mentioned at the beginning, misery can like company, so switching to be around people that are positive can also make a huge impact. I love to watch comedy. If I've had a stressful day, I'll switch off at the end of the day and just enjoy laughing for an hour and a half. It's so good and I feel so amazing the next day. And speaking to a professional who can help you to challenge your thoughts at the subconscious level, at the conscious level, to change your life patterns can be really great. As I mentioned for Adrian and James, I facilitated a 3-day breakthrough for James where basically we have 2.5-hour session, day 1, day 2, day 3. So 7.5 hours over the 3 days, 3 days in a row. And we get first clear on the factors that are contributing to what James defined as his habitual negative way of thinking. We then release them on day 2. He was able to learn why he created these patterns and how he could get the wisdom from them, the pearls of wisdom from them, rather than holding on to them. And then the last thing that we did was we looked at how to reinstall and recreate the new him. We looked at his values in life, what's important to him, his goals, his dreams, so he could stay motivated to creating the life that he wanted. We looked at the positive actions he could take in his relationship, the positive actions he could take in his personal life to keep his positivity high. Some self-care actions to make sure that he was creating a positive life for himself. And then that deeper mindset, relaxing meditation that is full of positive affirmations that he could listen to daily for 3 weeks to really shift the thinking at a deeper level. And then we followed up with 2 couple sessions, focusing on steps to bring them closer, to communicate more effectively. So the point of me sharing this is do something, take some action, understand where it's coming from, learn from the wisdom that your mind is trying to teach you, learn that you can keep the values without holding on to the negativity, keep the learnings, and then get into some positive actions to keep your energy high and your mindset focused on what you want rather than what you don't want. And I want to just admit here that for years I did have a lot of negative self-talk. That was overpowering. I used to take things personally. I thought that people didn't like me, as I didn't really like myself. I found it hard to believe people's compliments. When people said I was beautiful, I was attractive, I was clever, I was intelligent, I was funny, I was kind, I'd be like, no, I'm not. Well, you're just saying that. Any positive things people said, I didn't believe. I just rejected it. And when I had a breakthrough session done on me, it changed my life. And that's when I decided to completely switch careers and do what I'm doing now. Because when you think positively, the world opens up and life simply is amazing. Because when you believe in yourself, when you believe that good things are happening, that good things are going to happen to you, that there is opportunities and possibilities out there for you to learn, to grow, to have a great life. You'll see them, you'll seize them, you'll enjoy them, and this will build momentum to have more and more and more. I'd love to connect with you more closely. Do join my Facebook group if you're on Facebook and you'd like to be in touch. I create videos in there. And we also have some great discussions. And if you really want to turn your life or relationship around right now, I have 4 audio programs. You can check them out on my website. Go to nicolabeer.com/shop. I also have on my website the free section, which has free meditations there for you and ebooks. And if you're interested in working one-on-one with me, you'd like to book an introduction call to find out more about my couple programs or my individual programs, you can also do that on the website or email me at nb@nicolabeer.com. Thank you so much for listening. From my heart to yours, have an absolutely awesome week ahead and look forward to joining you in the next episode. Bye.
Thank you for listening to How to Save Your Marriage with Nicola Beer. To book your free marriage strategy session today, you can visit www.nicolabeer.com, where you can also get the free marriage fixing ebook, request a topic for the show, and make a donation if the show has been of benefit to you and you want to help keep it going. We wish you an amazing love-filled day ahead.